With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to a Week 5 edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, my co-host today, Scott Fish and Brian Johnson. Hello, guys.
What's up, boys?
What's going on?
Well, it's time for wins. That's what's going on. We're here. We're delivering. We're handing out wins like you're going to be handing out
nice-sized
candy bars.
Nice.
On Halloween.
I have a guarantee for the listeners. I guarantee we will be more entertaining than Russell Wilson playing football.
Oh, that goes without saying. Holy cow. Maybe we'll get into a little discussion about the travesty that is the Denver Broncos right now.
Let's ride.
But booed by their own fans vociferously throughout the game. And I don't think I've ever seen fans leave en masse heading into overtime. It's the coin flip for overtime, and the fans are all leaving.
Yep.
Oh, man. Good for the fans in Denver. Plenty to get to over the course of this show. We'll have Take a Chance on Me. We'll do our three tough questions. We'll have premature speculation, and we will break down all 15 remaining games from the NFL slate, beginning with another of the tricky early start games. Be sure to set your lineups. Giants taking on Packers.
Yes, I'm excited for it. I'm very happy Colin's not here this week. We lost him. We can't
now
get a hold of him.
My understanding on Colin is arrested.
Arrested.
Yeah. Now, you saw in London during the Viking game, you may have seen that nude streaker that had to eventually security had to get.
Yeah.
Colin McCockney.
Interesting.
Yes.
At least he wasn't the at least he wasn't the one in the Rams game. Knocked out by Bobby Wagner. The Giants pass game is on the bench. How's that for a good start? The whole pass game, Richie James, David Sills, Daniel Bellinger, who I do like, but like three catches for 30, 40 yards isn't doing you much. It's a Packers D that's top 12 against quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends. Daniel Jones, he got you the two rushing touchdowns last week, probably on your bench or on your waiver wire. He probably didn't get it.
Correct. Didn't get them for you.
But he hasn't topped 200 yards all season. It's Kadarius Toney has two hamstring injuries. They're all on the bench. Saquon Barkley, though, it's an automatic A. He's the best fantasy running back in football right now, and the QB position is rough. Barkley actually ended up playing extra snaps, the most snaps and touches he's ever played in a single game in his career last week. And he was playing snaps at quarterback, with Daniel Jones.
It's amazing. Yeah. Tyrod Taylor out, yes.
Yeah, he took a lot of Wildcat snaps near the end of that game. Anyway, let's move over to the Packers side because there's players that actually matter on this side. Not that Barkley doesn't matter, but he's the only one
that matters, yes.
Aaron Rodgers, I have a B grade on. Since his second annual week one dismantling,
yes,
Rodgers has thrown for 230 to 255 yards in every game and two scores in every game. So that's a pretty safe B floor is what he's been doing. The Giants pass D is top 10, but they've not really faced any startable quarterbacks. I guess the closest they faced was Tannehill, who went for 266 and a couple scores. So I'd expect Rodgers to lean towards his averages, if not a little better. Got a B grade there on him. Romeo Doubs and Alan Lazard. I have B grades on both of them.
I like them.
I just do. Yeah. I don't think you can talk me into an A grade. It's possible one of them hits the A and one of them hits the B, but I'm giving them both Bs with some upside there. The Giants haven't truly been tested, as I mentioned, with the quarterbacks, but even Darnell Mooney, who hadn't done anything all year, found 94 yards against them. And CeeDee Lamb the week before had 87 and a score as the lead receiver. Dubs and Lazard have both been playing 90% of the snaps. They both very clearly have Rodgers' trust, both in Rodgers' speak and in his play. He has targeted those two about 50% of his passes. So if he throws 30, we're talking 15 targets.
We'll take it.
And that's probably low-end 30 pass attempts for Aaron Rodgers. Over to Robert Tonyan, I do have him on the bench, not even playing half the snaps. You almost need the touchdown, which is tough to count on with Rodgers now that once they get inside the red zone, and especially inside the 5 and 10, it's a pretty even split between run and pass, whereas last year with Davante Adams, it was all pass. So now they're going half and half, and Tonyan is not seeing that kind of touchdown volume. Giants haven't allowed a tight end touchdown this year, and tight ends are averaging under 40 yards per game. Sit Tonyan. Over to the running backs. Aaron Jones, I got an A grade on. A.J. Dillon, I have a B grade on. Mm. The Giants are getting tagged weekly by running backs. McCaffrey, Herbert, the Dallas and Titans duos. It's weird to say the Titans duo. It's not really a duo, but I know, Dontrell Hilliard had two touchdowns against them and did a bunch through the air in week one. But to the tune of 150 yards per game, Dillon has both carries inside the five. Jones gets the targets, which I honestly didn't see coming, but they're splitting the snaps pretty evenly. But given one gets touchdown carries and one gets targets, I got them both with A and B grades here.
Okay.
Aaron Jones, 6.8 yards per carry to Dillon's 3.7. That's something to keep an eye on.
That's a major differential
there. That's why
Aaron Jones is looking great.
Yeah, he's getting the A grade there. Dillon the B, though. Dillon still gets a B in this matchup.
The Lions, Brian, have got all kinds of injuries. We know for sure that DJ Chark is out. DeAndre Swift is out. Josh Reynolds probably playing but questionable. Amon-Ra St. Brown game time decision. Help me make heads or tails out of Lions when they take on the Patriots.
All right, over to the Patriots side. No, I'm just kidding. All right, we'll start with
you cannot dismiss the Lions
playing
like that anymore.
No, long gone are the days where it's like you're benching the Lions even when they're healthy.
Right.
It's quite the opposite.
Highest scoring team in the NFL.
We'll start with thanks to their awful defense, it's like the perfect storm for fantasy football.
Once they get healthy, Amon-Ra, once Jameson Williams gets back, oh my Lord, this offense could be crazy.
That, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, we know Jamal Williams is going to play, and I'm going to give him a B. Should be in line for another bell cow workload. Even when Swift was healthy, Williams was the guy at the goal line for Detroit. He now leads all running backs in the NFL in carries inside the 5-yard line. He's done it 9 times.
Nine times.
But be warned, the Pats are stout against the run. Green Bay ran all over them last week, but that game went to the bitter end of overtime, so they played 5 quarters. Before that, no other opposing back has topped 60 yards rushing against the Patriots, and New England has yet to surrender a running back touchdown through the ground or air. So just the B for Williams, but he should see a lot of volume in this one. As you said, DJ Chark is out. We're going to go with Josh Reynolds, likely to play.
Yep.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, true game time decision. If Sun God plays, I'm going to give him a B and a C either way for Josh Reynolds.
I kind of like Reynolds more than you do, but go ahead.
It's a neutral match. I'll give Reynolds a B if St. Brown's out, actually. But if St. Brown's in, C for Reynolds,
okay.
B for Brown.
All right.
It's basically a neutral matchup for wide receivers. The Patriots are allowing 11 catches and almost 150 yards per game to wide receivers. Those aren't great numbers as a whole to opposing wide receiver units, but they have surrendered exactly one wide receiver touchdown in 3 of 4 games. If Amon-Ra St. Brown is out. I think Tom Kennedy is kind of interesting.
Clint Cephas also out.
Yeah,
and, so you may have to go to Tom Kennedy.
And then there's Khalif Raymond, but Kennedy had the better game last week, so I'll go with Tom Kennedy. So he's your C dart if Sun God is out. We know TJ Hockenson, there it is, jeez, is not out, and he's not on the bench this week. Hopefully he wasn't on your bench last week. Probably the biggest game in all of fantasy football. Going to give him an A here because the Patriots have surrendered 5 tight end touchdowns, the most in the league. And lastly, Jared Goff, going to give him a C. This week's matchup with the Pats, likely his toughest to date. We would prefer if Amon-Ra St. Brown plays. If he doesn't, you still got to roll Goff out there just because New England gives up a ton of points and is forced to throw all the time. So New England, not the greatest matchup, but the C for Goff. And now over to the Patriots side, starting with their running backs. Damian Harris, going to give him an A.
Yeah.
Just across the board, Detroit's defense sucks. So there's going to be some startable Patriots this week, unlike past weeks. The Lions have allowed the 4th most rushing yards and the most rushing touchdowns to running backs. Harris has scored in 3 of 4 games this year and has 18 touchdowns over his last 19 games dating back to last year. So the A for Harris and a B for Ramondre Stevenson. The matchup, obviously just as good for Stevenson, who saw 14 carries last week to the 18 from Harris. But Stevenson saw 5 targets to the 1 for Harris. Opposing running backs have caught at least 4 passes against the Lions in 3 of 4 games. Now to the Patriots wide receivers. We'll start with who I guess is their alpha, number one wide receiver, Devontae Parker. Scored a touchdown last week at Green Bay. The week before that, he had 5 catches for 156 yards against the Ravens. The Lions are allowing 14 catches for 195 yards and 1 touchdown per game to opposing wideouts.
That's
so
terrible.
Parker is startable, even with the quarterback situation, which we'll get to in a minute. Now, there's some more murkiness for the wide receivers with New England. Jacoby Myers has missed the last couple games. If he plays, I would give him a C.
Yep.
But if he's out, I think Nelson Aguilar is the C dart for the Patriots just against this awful Lions secondary. So that's how they break that situation down. And not a C dart, but just a C for Hunter Henry. Jonnu Smith, your boy, Charge.
He's out.
He's out.
Always out.
Detroit is top 7 in the most catches and yards allowed to tight end. So Henry is startable this week. And you know what? If you're desperate, Bailey Zappe looks to be the starter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's against the Lions right now.
I'm with you. Look, we've seen quarterbacks like him play well all year.
He played pretty well in Green Bay coming off the bench.
I was shocked. He looked like, I'm looking at him just waiting for him to fall apart. He didn't.
If you're in any kind of super flex format, whether it's redraft or especially dynasty, I would grab Zappe right now because he does have long-term upside. I don't know if he'll see it, but
I will say it would have been nice to see him put any kind of drive together near the end or in overtime, and he just couldn't.
Did you guys see the photo of him with Mac Jones?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the 2 headshots that look exactly.
They're indistinguishable.
Yeah, they're twins.
You would never know that they're not the same person.
Yeah, I've seen the 2 headshots. Looks. Yeah.
Bears take on the Vikings. This won't take very long. If it turns out David Montgomery does not go, then Khalil Ground Bear Air is an A grade. Bears run on a league-leading 62% of offensive plays. And again, if Monty's out, that means Ground Bear's getting a lot of work. And he's played well. He grades as the 2nd most efficient runner, according to Next Gen Stats. He's averaging 6 yards per carry. Minnesota's allowed rushing touchdowns in every game and ranks 27th in rushing DVOA. There's a great opportunity for Khalil Herbert if Montgomery doesn't go. If Montgomery does go, I got to knock him all the way down to a C in a timeshare role, and I've got a C on Montgomery if he does go. Again, Minnesota's defense is exploitable on the ground. If Montgomery's active, I'm assuming Montgomery's active, he'll get some time, but Herbert's should get at least half of the carries, even if Montgomery is active. They'd both get C grades in that event. And the only other Bear that you care about is Darnell Mooney, coming up the best game of his year by a mile. He did nothing in the first 3 weeks. He is running mostly from the slot, or he matches up against Vikings cornerback Chandon Sullivan, who's allowed 88% of his passes to be completed. Sullivan's also giving up 12 yards per reception. That's a big number. The problem for Mooney's always targets. He's seeing 4 targets per game, but that could change considering his easy matchup with Sullivan, so a C grade on Darnell Mooney. If we go over to the Vikings, Justin Jefferson, automatic A grade. Dalvin Cook also with an A grade here. Chicago hemorrhaging production to opposing running backs, giving up at least 100 total yards to a running back in three straight games, and they're seeing a league-high 36 rushes per game against them. Dalvin Cook will not get all 36, but he should get more than 20, and that puts him into a high level of productivity here. The Vikings have run 37 plays from the red zone. Dalvin Cook only has 5 touches. We've touched on this basically every week, going all the way back to the preseason. We told you we expected this. Vikings have run 9 plays from inside the 5-yard line. Dalvin Cook has 1 touch. That's your danger. Cook may need to score from distance. Going to the passing game, I like Adam Thielen and K.J. Osborne with C grades. Actually, I'm going to bump up Adam Thielen to a B grade because I don't think cornerback Jalen Johnson is going to go. He's got a quad injury. The Bears have very good safeties, but their cornerbacks are dreadful. Kendall Vildor, Kyler Gordon, awful. And Kyler Gordon, who mans the slot, K.J. Osborne owners, he's allowed the most passing yards in the NFL, 335 from the slot. Kyler Gordon does not belong on an NFL field. K.J. Osborne, a nice sneaky play in this one. And then that brings us to Kirk Cousins. I've got A, B, and C grades on his receivers, so I've got a B grade on Cousins here. The only question really is, teams don't pass on the Bears. They run all day on
the
Bears. So volume could work against him. Chicago sees the lowest pass play percentage in the league, and they've only given up 3 passing touchdowns because nobody has to pass.
Yep.
So that's your danger on starting.
That felt like a B minus.
No, we covered this last week.
Can I make an open plea to Adam Thielen?
Yeah, please.
He's having a charity function at the Topgolf here in Minnesota on Monday, and I haven't been in weeks, and I was planning to go, but he's closed the whole venue down for a very worthy cause, I'm sure. But Adam Thielen, put me on the list, please. Brian Johnson.
Add Brian Johnson. It's a charity event. You can't just go and just pay your way in.
No, I'm broke.
Okay, well, there's that. Speaking of paying for Brian's salary, you should consider joining a Guillotine League. New leagues forming all the time. 14-man leagues, team leagues, this week. And then next week, we go down to 13. You know how that works at guillotineleagues.com. We encourage you to give that a try. When we come back, take a chance on me. 9 players not normally in your starting lineup. We'll tell you who they are after this.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
It It's Take a Chance on Me. Nine players not normally in your starting lineup. Many are available on the waiver wire. We begin at the quarterback position and Scott Fish.
I'm going a little deeper this week. I'm going to go with Cooper Rush facing a Rams defense that you probably wouldn't think is a great matchup, but they've allowed 300-plus and or multiple touchdowns three times this season.
Yeah.
The other time they did allow a touchdown, a couple hundred yards. Cooper Rush also gets Michael Gallup. He's got Michael Gallup back now. He gets Schultz back. Tony Pollard may miss, so they may not run as much. Never know.
Yeah, it's Cooper Rush, and it's been widely reported. It's not breaking news. First ever Cowboys quarterback to start a career 4-0.
Yeah.
Cooper Rush. I tweeted this in right after Dak went down, Cooper Rush came into that first game. What happens when Cooper Rush leads this team to a bunch of wins, looks good doing it, and then Dak comes back? What if he looks like the same Dak we saw in week one?
I saw a tweet, and I wish I could remember who it was so I could credit them. They said, "You better watch out, Cooper Rush. You're playing yourself into a starting role for the Panthers."
That's really good. Your Take a Chance on Me quarterback, Brian.
Cleveland's Jacoby Brissett at home against the Chargers, who have surrendered at least 235 passing yards and multiple passing touchdowns in every game so far. Last week, they allowed five completions of 20-plus yards to the very comparable Davis Mills. I like Jacoby Brissett.
All right. What happened to the Chargers rebuild secondary? Wow.
It's broken.
I've got Ryan Tannehill. Nobody gets out of bed going, "Oh, I can't wait to start Ryan Tannehill," but it's Washington. They've allowed the most passing touchdowns despite playing some third-tier talents like Trevor Lawrence and Cooper Rush. Cornerbacks William Jackson and Kendall Fuller own Pro Football Focus ranks at cornerback of 114 and 144. Fuller's allowed the second most yardage among all cornerbacks. Treylon Burks is going to miss the game, but Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook, Ikhine, good enough to style Ryan Tannehill. Let's go to the running back position. Scott.
Yes, I am going to go with my guy I play in a league with, Tyler Allgeier. Yeah. I noticed this week that I am playing against Tyler Allgeier.
Oh, in a game he's going to start?
And he's starting himself over David Montgomery and over Antonio Gibson.
Oh,
he's throwing himself in the lineup right there.
All right.
So that tells you how much Tyler Allgeier feels about himself in this matchup. They lost Cordarrelle Patterson. They do have Caleb Huntley, who was activated from the practice squad last week to go big against the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
They're going to have to activate him again, and he'll have to stay on the active roster after that. But he had 8 of his 10 carries on one drive. He's mostly a big body back. He might get goal line work. Avery Williams is more of a pass catching back, but Tyler Allgeier is the guy who caught the passes each of the last 2 weeks in those games. So I have Tyler Allgeier to get a decent workload against this Bucs D that gave up 150 total yards and 2 scores to the Chiefs last week.
Yeah, the oddly yielding Bucs run defense last week, but still a very good run defense.
Yep.
Brian, your Take a Chance on Me running back.
The Rams' Daryl Henderson at home against Dallas. The Cowboys are allowing 4.8 yards per carry and more than 5 catches per game to opposing running backs. Last week, Henderson had 11 opportunities. Those are carries and targets to the 9 of Cam Akers, who did absolutely nothing with his. Henderson's the better running back on this team. He's going to have a better game between the two.
Travis Etienne has been a massive disappointment, but if you're not going to play him against Houston, why is he on your roster? Houston allowing 180 total yards and 1.5 touchdowns per game to opposing running backs, both second worst in the league. Etienne hasn't flashed as a receiver like we thought he would. I thought he was going to be sitting on like a 40-catch season. He's not going to come close. But I'll note, Houston is bottom 10 in receptions and receiving yards to running backs, so if it's ever going to happen, this might be it. All right, let's go to your Take a Chance on Me receivers, Scott.
Yeah, I'm going with George Pickens. You probably haven't been starting him, but he's 39% rostered, maybe up a little bit more this week. But he's going against Buffalo. Tough matchup. Doesn't make you feel good. But last week, after Kenny Pickett came in, he was targeted over 30% of the time with Pickett's passes.
Yeah.
Had 71 yards for 102 yards, or 71 of his 102 yards with Pickett, catching all 4 of his targets. His average depth of target with Pickett in that second half way larger than Trubisky. Pickett's attempts were way longer than Trubisky, and they're 14-point dogs. I think they're trying to pass to keep it pace with the Bills in this one.
Yeah, well, I'll look forward to hearing what you think about Najee Harris in a very tricky matchup in a couple of minutes. Brian, let's go to your Take a Chance on Me receiver.
I'm going to double down on the Browns and go with Donovan Peoples-Jones against the Chargers, who are allowing more than 160 yards per game to opposing wide receivers, and they've surrendered the second most touchdowns to the position with six. DPJ has out-targeted and outperformed Amari Cooper in two of four games. Cooper is surely going to draw more attention from the Chargers' defense. It is also going to have their hands very full with the run game of the Browns, meaning DPJ should be running routes against single coverage all game long.
Corey Davis has been shockingly competent this year. Actually, in many scoring systems, he is a wide receiver too.
Well, they're paying him to do just that.
In all my leagues, he keeps getting dropped and picked up because people are like, he did well, but he's Corey Davis.
He's Corey Davis. Nobody's enthused about it.
Yeah.
He's notched at least 74 yards in three of four games. He's got two touchdowns on the season, and he faces a Miami secondary that's been, frankly, terrible. And Xavier Howard's hurt right now. Miami's been pummeled for 195 yards per game to opposing wide receivers. Fourth most. They've allowed two 100-yard receivers in the last three games. Davis is eighth in air yards. I don't think of Corey Davis as a deep ball threat, but here he is eighth in air yards. And big plays have been given up by Nick Needham and Xavier Howard, assuming Howard even plays in this game. So, Corey Davis, our final Take a Chance on Me player. Steelers take on the Bills. Scott, you already told us a little bit about the passing game and how you feel about George Pickens.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the rest of that passing game? And then Najee Harris, I want to hear if you've got a bench grade on Najee Harris.
I don't, but I have a non-enthusiastic C grade on Najee Harris. So it's probably in line with the same place you were thinking. The nice part about Najee Harris is he gets a ton of volume, 18-plus touches in three straight. We know he can catch the ball, so he could get involved in that as they fall way behind the Bills, potentially. But the Bills' D hasn't allowed 50-yard rusher this season. Mm-hmm. The lead back, though, has scored five touchdowns against the Bills somehow.
That's weird.
Which is definitely weird. I wouldn't count on that, though. Mm-hmm. Last week, the pick It led Steelers had four plays inside the five. Here's another concern for Najee Harris. Two picket runs, one picket pass, and just one carry for Najee Harris of all those plays inside the five last week with picket running things. Harris is fifth in the NFL in opportunities inside the five, but just two scores, and there's already a concern there. Wasn't super productive with his 3.5 yards per carry. His 6.7 per catch is pretty inefficient. The only thing he's got going for him, for me, is the volume C. His likelihood to get 15 to 20 touches, he's probably just going to get enough done, and you got to hope for a score.
That's about all you can hope for.
Yep. By the way, Jalen Warren's averaging 6 yards per carry last week, 7.5 the week before.
Keep your eyes on that.
Still keep your eyes. I said it last week. Emerging. Pick up these backup running backs.
Yeah, that was a great call.
Kenny Pickett is on the bench, though. The Bills are top five against quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends, and top 10 against running backs, so it's a tough matchup for everybody. They did face Stafford, Kupp, Henry, Tua, Waddle, Hill, Lamar. They've been tested. Legitimately been tested with those top rankings and defenses. Quarterbacks are averaging 173 yards and just three scores in four games, so Pickett's on the bench. You're not going to be too excited about the pass game. I said I do like Pickens. I did have a C grade on him. Hope for some deep balls and a decent, okay, C-level game there. I have Freiermuth on the bench. He caught three of his four targets from Pickett. The one he didn't was one of them that was picked off, obviously. If he didn't catch it, it was picked off. That's all Pickett did last week. 10 completions to Steelers, three completions to the other team. The Bills held Mark Andrews, to 15 yards and every tight end under 40. Going back to last year, only Kelsey, Gronk, Pitts, and Dan Arnold top 50 yards on this D. So you have to be on that level.
Yeah.
The Dan Arnold level to get 50 yards against this team.
Averaging more than 15 yards per catch, he needs the ball. Evan Engram time.
I actually do have Deontay Johnson on the bench. He's gained a ton of targets, but he didn't get as many with Pickett in. Only had 11 yards. His ADOT has been terrible. His yards after the catch is hilarious. 6.
On the season.
6 yards after the catch on the season for Deontay Johnson this year. He doesn't even have a single red zone target this year. That's too much concern for me. I have Deontay Johnson on the bench. Over to the other side, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, I don't need to talk about. They're going to be A grades almost every week. Gabe Davis and Isaiah McKenzie. I have C grades on both of them. We're assuming here McKenzie goes. He clears concussion protocol and he goes. McKenzie scored in 3 of 4. Crowder is now out with a broken foot. This likely bumps McKenzie's snap share up a little. I expect Khalil Shakir to get in more. I'll talk about him a little bit more later, potentially. Davis disappeared each of the last 2 weeks, but they were far tougher spots. The Steelers have allowed 75-plus yards and or a score to 6 different wide receivers. It's a better matchup for him. I think there's room for him to be that 70-yard, maybe a touchdown C-level guy here. Dawson Knox is on the bench. Pretty hard to trust a 3-4 catch, 20-40-yard guy any week. And he's probably – last I saw, he was leaning towards out. He might officially be out by now.
I think he's been ruled out.
Okay. Devin Singletary, I have a B grade on here.
I like Singletary this week.
I really like it. 15-plus touches in back-to-back. Snap percentage has gone way up. In his games, I saw this earlier this week, in his games where he gets at least 70% of the snap, he's been a top 24 running back in, I believe, 7 of those 8 games.
Wow.
So yep, we're looking at – so you're already looking close to a B. They're 14.5-point favorites. They do bring in James Cook when they get ahead, but Singletary should get a decent volume here. He has 13 catches for 125 yards and a score just through the air in the last 2 games. So he gets it there too. So I have a B grade on Singletary in this one.
Let's sell on Najee Harris right now. The schedule's ridiculous. Buffalo this week, then Tampa, Miami, Philadelphia, a bye week, and Saints. Najee Harris is not going to be above a C grade for another 8 weeks. Get out of Najee Harris now.
And don't buy Najee Harris if you're hearing this as well.
Exactly. Don't be on the other side of that flim-flam. I would be offering Najee Harris for guys like Dameon Pierce, right, that I think are way, way better and safer runners.
Not just matchup. You know me. Jalen Warren was one of my preseason, you know, get him on the back of your bench sleepers. If he starts taking more and more of a role, that paired with a bad matchup is just terrible.
Death. Get out of Najee Harris now. Dolphins take on the Jets. Teddy Bridgewater is your new starting quarterback for the Dolphins, at least for the time being. Get this. I looked this up. He's played 63 NFL games. History of the NFL going, well, all the way back to the Super Bowl era, 1966 forward. No quarterback has thrown fewer touchdowns in 63 games than Teddy Bridgewater.
That's not
1.1 per game. He is a fantasy vacuum that is going to suck the life out of that offense.
That's Russell Wilson.
But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Dolphins take on the Jets, Brian.
I think you're wrong about Teddy this week. You got to give Teddy B a B, especially against the Jets, who are 29th against the pass in DVOA. And Miami has the weapons to do the damage. And don't forget, this is a revenge game of sorts for Teddy, who signed with New York in 2018 in March. They gave up on him before the preseason, traded him to the Saints. He's going to seek his revenge on the Jets in this game. Speaking of those weapons.
If all of Teddy's past teams are revenge matches, that's every week.
He hasn't been around that much. He's not Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Is he eight teams in right now?
He might be.
I don't think it's nine times. Keep talking.
Speaking of his weapons, Mike Gesicki is not one. He's on the bench. His usage is what we feared, which is absolutely nothing. So you're not starting a Dolphins tight end, but you are going to start Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. They've been dealing with some minor injuries this week, but they should be good to go. Going to give both of them a B. The Jets have surrendered the second most wide receiver touchdowns and have allowed an opposing wide receiver to top 100 yards in 3 straight games. DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner are a formidable duo at cornerback, but so are Hill and Waddle at wide receiver, so I like them a little more than the Jets' corners. And lastly, for Miami, Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds. I will give both of them a C. It's a fairly neutral matchup. The Jets are allowing over 110 combo yards and a touchdown per game to opposing backs. Mostert saw 18 opportunities to the 8 from Edmonds last week, but Edmonds appears to be the preferred option when Miami's in the red zone. So I don't know which way to go. I would start one of the flex worthy if you have either on roster. If you're going to pick one,
I would go Mostert, but I want the touches.
I think Edmonds is still a viable dart throw in this one. And that is it for Miami. Over to the Jets side, starting with Breece Hall. I'm going to give him a C. He appears to be taking over as lead back.
His snap percentage has
increased week over week.
I would trade Najee Harris for Breece Hall.
Oh, yeah. You're probably not going to get him.
Yeah,
Hall's also become the primary option in the red zone at running back for the Jets, but this is a tough matchup. Miami is 4th against the run in DVOA, allowing just 57 rush yards per game to opposing running backs. That said, Hall has seen the second most targets among all running backs, and Miami has allowed the fourth most catches to the position. So I might even bump him up to a B in PPR leagues, but a C in standard. You got to bench Michael Carter at this point, because if the trend continues, he's looking at a 30% snap share at best. So he's on the bench. Now, over to the Jets wide receivers, Miami could be without corners Xavien Howard, Keon Crossan, and Byron Jones, which would bode well for all of them.
Yes.
If Xavien Howard, their best corner, sits, I'll give Garrett Wilson a B. If he plays, I'll give him a C. But people were worried Wilson wouldn't get enough attention from Zach Wilson last week, but Garrett Wilson still out-targeted Elijah Moore last week, so I like Wilson more than Moore, who I will give a C to as well. I'd have him on the bench if Miami wasn't so thin at cornerback, but with all the injuries in their secondary, I'll give Elijah Moore one more shot here. He had 8 catches for 141 yards and a touchdown in his lone meeting with Miami last year. And Corey Davis, startable as well. Charge, he was your take a chance of me
receiver.
Wide receiver. Tyler Conklin, also startable with a C. With Zach Wilson back under center, Conklin posted season lows in both targets and receptions. That being said, he has a good matchup against Miami, who has allowed the fifth most yards to tight ends and surrendered a touchdown to Hayden Hurst last week. And with all those startable pass catcher grades, I got a C on Zach Wilson, who can do a little damage on the ground as well.
When we come back, another block of matchups for you, including Texans-Jaguars, which is suddenly overflowing in fantasy options.
I like it.
And how much, you know, this show loves Damian Pierce. What is the letter grade above A? Find out.
Wait, who's doing the matchup?
I am.
Oh, I know what the letter is.
Find out when we come back. Fantasy Football Weekly.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're probably careful with your personal information, but what about the other places that have it? Like the doctor's office that mixed up your files. They have your social security number. The power company that mistakenly cut your service has your payment info and last 3 addresses. And the hotel that lost your reservation has your passport info. Your information is in endless places out of your control. Any one of them could accidentally expose you to hackers and identity theft through lax security, breaches, or simple mistakes. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to a wide range of threats. If your identity is stolen, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. With plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Mistakes happen. Don't let not having protection be one of them. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 40%. Terms apply.
Fantasy Football Weekly continues. Paul Charchian, Scott Fish, and Brian Johnson with you. If you haven't tried a guillotine league yet, maybe you want to know, well, you want to join another league. Maybe the league, the team you got in your normal league is floundering. Maybe you're 500 or close to 500. Maybe you just don't love that one. Maybe you want to start a new league. Maybe you always want to try a guillotine league. We've got new drafts basically every day at guillotineleagues.com.
Or you drafted Kyle Pitts. That's what you want to say.
Well, I did.
I knew it.
It's been tough. Let's talk about Titans taking the Jaguars. Gentlemen, beginning with Damian Pierce. Rushing output has increased in every game. He caught all six of his targets last week that weren't throwing to him at the beginning of the year.
Yep,
now
they are.
They've figured out what we knew looking at the tape in college. This kid can catch.
Yep.
Oh, man. That newfound receiving prowess could be fruitful against a Jacksonville team allowing the second most receptions and receiving yards to opposing running backs. Every starting running back has had at least 53 total yards against the Jags. That gives you both a safe floor and upside for Damian Pierce with an
A.
I don't award the fantasy Fonzie, so I guess I can't technically do that.
By the way, he went to Florida, right?
Yeah.
What were they thinking? Like,
not using him all the time.
Like,
I know.
Probably would have won the national championship.
I saw this on my Twitter. There were people posting, still don't trust Damian Pierce because they used him at Florida. I'm like, get over it. Just open your eyes and look at the guy's play.
Florida man refuses to use Damian Pierce. That's the headline.
Brandon Cooks, he's faced the Jaguars four times since joining Houston. Here's his games. 161 yards, 83 yards, 132 yards, and 102 yards for Brandon Cooks against the Jaguars. It is an improved defense from last year, but their secondary has been very charitable to receivers in particular, yielding five scores to the position that is tied for third most. Brandon Cooks with a B. And for much the same reason, we're gonna do a dart throw on Nico Collins coming off a career-high 82-yard game. He'll be facing cornerback Tyson Campbell the most. He's allowed two touchdowns in his coverage already this year. We're going to keep Davis Mills on the bench, even though I've got B and C grades on Nico Collins. Just not much upside to his game so far. Doesn't look bad. Doesn't engender an opportunity to start. Let's go to the Jaguars side. James Robinson, a bounce-back performance coming. We saw Austin Eckler write some bad games against this same Texans defense. Now it'll be James Robinson coming off a soft game. Houston allowing 180 total yards and 1.5 touchdowns per game to opposing backs, both second most. Starters especially have been feasting as they're averaging 135 total yards against the Texans. I already told you Travis Etienne was my take a chance on me running back with a C grade on him. Let's go to the passing game. Trevor Lawrence has thrown multiple touchdown passes in three straight games. Safidi only accomplished twice as a rookie all year. One of those games was against the Texans. I like that. B grade on him, and I've got a B grade in Christian Kirk. He's getting a lot of use, seeing nine targets per game.
Nine times.
And that's the kind of volume that should be helpful against perennial roastee Desmond King in the slot. King was Pro Football Focus's cornerback 119 last year, and so far this year he's allowing a passer rating of 99 in his coverage. Christian Kirk gets a B grade. Zay Jones expected to return from his ankle injury. Pre-injury, Zay was coming off a great game. 10 catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown. He runs from all over the field, so he'll draw the aforementioned Desmond King, but also the lackluster outside corners of Steven Nelson and rookie Derek Stingley, who has allowed the fifth most receptions and fourth most yards among all cornerbacks. So he is also a starter in this game. Let's go over to the Falcons taking on the Bucs. Scott?
Yeah, so the Falcons, I actually don't have a lot of starting grades here. I already talked about Tyler Allgeier. I had a C grade on him. He's my take-a-chance-on-me runner this week. I have Williams and Huntley on the bench. I don't know that they'll quite get the volume against a Bucs D that, you know, has been pretty good over the last year or so. They weren't great last week, but I have them on the bench. Marcus Mariota. He gets a Bucs D that faced Prescott, Winston, Rodgers, Mahomes, held them to an average of under 250 yards and six scores between them. So I got him on the bench. He's not running the ball anymore.
I know.
He has 23 yards on the ground since week one.
Yeah.
So he's on the bench. Kyle Pitts is obviously on the bench because he's not playing. He's out. Alameda Zaccheaus. I actually do have him on the bench. I know he might get a little more work with Pitts out, but he only ran eight routes last week. He's barely involved. He plays half the snaps. He's getting about two catches per week. It just so happens
he's starting Olamide Zaccheaus anyway.
All right. My only other grade for the Falcons is Drake London, who I do have a B grade on, averaging eight targets per game. Once again, probably go up a little bit this week. He's the alpha role in the offense. They just don't pass as much, leaving London probably in the 50 to 85 range most weeks. this week maybe a little bit more because he gets a middle of the pack matchup. The Bucks have allowed seven different receivers to have over 50 yards and or a score. I think that's where London is going to live this week, maybe a little more upside. On the other side, I have a B grade for Tom Brady, which weirdly feels high this season, right?
Well, it is on the season, but he's finally getting his receivers back.
He's getting his receivers back. The Falcons have allowed multiple scores to every quarterback they faced, not named Jacoby Brissett. The other three averaged 288 yards and 2.3 scores. Brady hasn't been lights out, but his best two games were the last 2 weeks. So he's trending up, and it's a favorable spot here. He's got Mike Evans with basically an automatic A grade. He just scores too often. He's Brady's main target. Godwin, I have the B grade on. He slid back into the lineup last week, and the Bucs stopped throwing to other wide receivers almost completely. He played 83% of the snaps, commanded 10 targets. The Bucs will likely get ahead, but they'll need points on the way there against a Falcons defense that's fifth worst against wide receivers, allowing fourth most receptions, ninth most yards, and seventh most touchdowns. In the running game.
Yeah, now this is where it gets interesting.
You know, I touted Rashad White on this show many, many times, but he had eight touches to Fournette's 10, but Fournette still stayed involved in the passing game. They just didn't run much. Here's my pre-spec last week. Five catches for 56 yards and a score, but you take away the score. Like, it's okay. I don't even have a startable grade here on him, but I can see in a real pinch, like a real dart throw, maybe throwing Rashad White in. But for Fournette, I have a B grade on him. Had 17 pluses each of the last 3 weeks. Falling behind to the Chiefs last week was a complete game script shift for them. I don't think that happens here. I think they get ahead of Atlanta and they stay with the foot on the ground. And he'll get back to his workhorse role. His pass catching came back, which you like to see the last 2 weeks. Only one back top 70 yards against the Falcon, and it took over 20 touches. But their ranking is mostly predicated on not playing a lot of great backs, and I think they get ahead and stay on the ground. So B grade on Fournette. I have a bench on C, but if you're really, really, really pressed for Rashad White, I guess you could.
Man, you're way more optimistic on Leonard Fournette than I am. Declining yards in every game this season.
Yeah.
Declining carries in three straight, down to three rushes last week.
Last week I put his game script.
All right, let's go to our final set of matchups: Chargers taking on the Browns.
All right, starting with Austin Eckler for the Chargers, an A for him. Currently on pace for 115 catches right now, which is crazy. Also has at least 13 carries in three of four games. The Browns are averaging a rushing touchdown allowed on every 15 carries they yield. The second worst carries per touchdown rate in the NFL, so a smash spot for Eckler. Now, Keenan Allen, unlikely to play this week, so we're going to continue on as though he's not playing. Even with Allen out, I only have a B for Mike Williams. He does have two touchdowns over his last three games and currently leads all receivers in Pro Football Focus's contested catch grade, but he'll face a tough test in corner Denzel Ward, who allows 51 yards per game in his coverage and has surrendered just one score. And the Browns just designated cornerback Greedy Williams for return from injured reserve. Last season, Greedy had the lowest completion percentage of any Browns defender who saw more than 24 targets. Now, I just said Allen most likely not playing, so even though it's not a great matchup on paper, I will give Josh Palmer a C. You want a starting wide receiver in this Chargers offense, and you do want to start Gerald Everett. He is questionable right now, but should likely play. He's thrived with Keenan Allen on the bench, has notched 13-plus PPR points in three of four games. Mm-hmm. Cleveland allows 60-plus yards per game to tight ends, but they have yet to surrender a touchdown to the position, but Everett could be the first to cross a stripe for a tight end against the Browns. And lastly, Justin Herbert, Air Bear. I'm waiting for the button. I don't know if I'm going to get it. I'll keep going. So far, Bear is loud, man. So far, the Browns have faced Baker Mayfield, Joe Flacco, Sad Trombonski, and Marcus Mariota. Not a murderer's row of quarterbacks by any means. The return of Greedy Williams is a big boost, but Air Bear still has the skill set and weapons to have a productive day. Over to the Browns side, Nick Chubb, A for him. The Chargers are allowing 6.1 rushing yards and 1.3 touchdowns per game to opposing backs. That being said, somehow the Chargers have not allowed a rushing touchdown in the red zone this season on 13 carries. It's all come from distance, like Damian Pierce did.
Yeah, that's changing right here.
So, but regardless of that, still an A for Nick Chubb and a C for Kareem Hunt. The Chargers allowing 150-plus combo yards per game to opposing running backs, so there should be enough to go around for Hunt, who is averaging around three catches and 60 combo yards per game. over to the wide receivers for the Browns. I already like Donovan Peoples-Jones as my take a chance on me wide receiver, but I also like Amari Cooper even more. Going to give him a B.
Mm-hmm.
LA's allowing more than 160 yards per game to opposing wide receivers, and they've surrendered the second most touchdowns of the position. Cornerback J.C. Jackson, who was the Chargers' prize offseason acquisition.
He's been playing hurt.
Yeah, he's been dealing with a nagging ankle injury that's hampered his ability to shut down opponents. He's been allowing 94 yards per game while spending a 91%
oh,
91% catch rate and 149 passer rating in his coverage. So love Cooper. I also like David Njoku with a C. Over the last 2 weeks, 14 catches for 160 yards and a touchdown. Lack has yet to surrender a tight end touchdown. And they've only allowed a combined 5 catches for 69 yards of the position over the last 2 games, but I still got to start Njoku. And Jacoby Brissett was my take a chance on me quarterback. Whew, done.
Yes. Well done. There's still a buffer time. You didn't have to rush quite that much at the end. But that gives me a chance to remind people, if you want to check out all of my player rankings available for free at guillotineleagues.com. And if you want to join a guillotine league, we've got drafts going basically anytime there's not a game actively going on. We've got live guillotine league drafts at guillotineleagues.com. Hour number 2, Fantasy Football Weekly, coming up next, including 3 tough questions. Find out if you can go 3-0 against our panel of experts when we return.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. Hour number 2, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian, Scott Fish, and Brian Johnson with you. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul Charchian. Scott is at ScottFish24. Mm-hmm. And follow Brian at BTXJ. This is a game we call 3 Tough Questions. I will pepper my co-hosts with the aforementioned tough questions. See if you can get as many right or more as Scott and Brian.
Tough question number 1.
What is the appropriate level of concern for Travis Etienne? Is it none, some, or a bowel-loosening level of existential dread? Scott.
This is kind of tough because is it from the time you drafted him or from how you felt 2.5 weeks ago? Because those might be very different, but I'm starting to lean where I don't have concern anymore. I was a little more concerned a couple weeks ago, but Robinson's yards after contact have gone down all 4 weeks. His snaps have gone down from 63% in week 2 to 58% in week 3 to 47% in week 4. He's losing his snaps to Etienne, who has gone up from 37% in week 2, 43% in week 3, 51% in week 4. You'll remember in week 1, he got a lot of snaps and made a decent amount of errors out there. I think he got punished week 2, and he's slowly building back to be that starter. He's more involved in the passing game than Robinson for obvious reasons. Finally saw a touch count equal to Robinson's last week. Maybe it's compared to where you drafted him, but based on where I was a few weeks ago, I have no concerns over Etienne, and we already talked last week about 7 of the next 8 games are against defenses ranked 18th or worse against running backs. Like, he has a great lineup of matchups, even if he's splitting carries. I'm not worried at all.
All right, so none is your answer.
None. That was Brian, a long-winded way to say that.
That was, but lots of good data in there. Brian, what is the appropriate level of concern for Travis Etienne? Is it none, some, or load?
I think I have one data point that Scott failed to mention there, but I'm with him. I got none. Based on his ADP, he hasn't lived up to that. That's kind of concerning. But looking forward, signs are promising. His snap percentage has gone up week over week. He outsnapped James Robinson in week 4. As Scott said, they had the same amount of touches. And speaking of James Robinson, he has gained more than 3 yards on just 42% of his carries. That's the fewest in the NFL. Etienne is at 59%. Mm. He's been more efficient.
All right.
So no concern. He'll be okay.
There should be some concern. We're still talking about a guy who's averaging 4 yards per carry, has really not put together a single meaningful fantasy game. And I don't know how you guys can suddenly be like, oh, he's fine. But I had assumed you were going to go. I had assumed you were going to go the other direction on this. I had many of the same data points on the positive side that suggests that there could be trouble ahead for James Robinson. But Scott already hit on many of those. I think the upside here for Etienne is he's got to grow into the receiving role that he should have already had. And for reasons I'm not clear on, they haven't used him that way. And especially when you consider this coach, this Peterson-led coaching staff, it traditionally threw to backs all the time.
And
it's
that Lawrence threw to him
point.
All the time in college.
Right.
So, well, later in college. Early in college, Etienne had problems
with that.
So
what gives? That, you know, if I'd like to think he's going to fill that out. There is still some level of concern for Travis Etienne.
Tough question number 2.
You're what just is a worrywart, Charge.
Well, I didn't say it was a blow.
Tough That's question awful. Number 2.
What is the appropriate level of concern for George Kittle? Is that none, some, or a bowel-loosening level of existential dread? Brian.
I was close to bloat here, but I'm just going with some.
You just had a near bloat experience?
Near bloat experience, but I'm just going with some. We wouldn't be having this conversation if he got both feet down in the end zone last week, and he was pretty
close.
But here we are. Yes, the usage for Kittle has been criminal. 6 targets in his 2 healthy games played so far, but he's still an elite talent. And look, tight end is a wasteland. You can't panic too much about George Kittle, especially with guys like Kyle Pitts missing games. Dawson Knox is out. I mean, some concern, but I'm not bloated.
Okay,
Scott,
so
what is the appropriate level of concern for George Kittle? None, some, or blowed?
So I have some as well, and honestly, if he'd gotten his feet down and scored last week, it wouldn't have changed my answer, really. Just 1 red zone target this entire year. Mm. Over his last 8 games, including playoffs, he has just 1 game over 30 yards and just 1 touchdown. He's blocking at a similar level to previously, but his ADOT has gone way down because they're having him chip off the line more. I believe he ran something like 19 routes on 26 drop, or 26 routes on 31 dropbacks last week, but the problem is he's chipping a lot when he goes out for his routes. So he's not getting further down the field. Sometimes he's not getting as open. So I think there's some concern. Once he does come back, I'm a little worried that, you know, that lower ADOT, he won't have as big a games because he has those. Last year, he had those huge potential blow-up games. He's still, like, the top tight end in the league the last couple of years in yards after the catch. So he has possibilities to have those huge games. They're probably still coming, but still some. They're not using him the way I wish they would.
They're not using George Kittle the way they should. I brought this up. Yeah, it might have been late preseason. I think George Kittle's entire career, he's been thrown to 5 times on plays inside the 5-yard line. Yeah. It was something crazy like that. We're like, how do you not throw to him more? And to Brian's point, and the correct answer is some appropriate level of concern for George Kittle. You can't just pivot to some rando waiver wire tight end and expect anything.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard to pull that off and very unlikely to do that on a regular pace here. You're going to have to kind of live with it, unfortunately. His last 8 games for George Kittle, 2.5 catches, 28 yards, 0.125 touchdowns per game. It is never a good sign when you're expressing a player's touchdowns in the thousands place.
I love that we had the same exact stat, but framed it in two different ways.
And you hit on some of my other points. He's still running a ton of routes, so they just don't throw to him. But I'm not in a total panic yet.
Nope.
We're not blown yet because eventually good players get utilized, and he's too good of a player, George Kittle, to not be utilized. Only some level of concern.
Tough question number three.
What is the appropriate level of concern for Gabriel Davis? None, some, or a bowel loosening level of existential dread? Scott.
So my answer is some here, and it's mostly because he's hurt, and he's still hurt, and he's going out there hurt. Film guys, some really good film guys this week noted this. I'm blanking on a couple. I know Josh Norris from Underdog was one of them, showed a couple of film clips of him. Like, he does not turn quickly on his routes anymore. He's not as crisp because he's harboring that injury.
Yeah.
And he's still playing almost all the snaps. He won't come off the field for it to heal it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's some in the short term. And if he re-aggravates it, that's only going to cause more of an issue. Once he's healed, I wouldn't feel as bad, but it's some because it doesn't seem like he's letting it heal.
Okay. Brian, what is the appropriate level of concern for Gabe Davis? None, some, or blowed?
Yeah, not much to add. I have the same answer with some. He's been banged up. I'll cut him a break. He had 6 touchdowns last year, and no, that doesn't include the 4 in the divisional round against the Chiefs. That was regular season touchdowns. He had 7 touchdowns in his rookie year. I trust he'll get healthy, hopefully, and when he does, he'll play every snap. Stephon Diggs draws a ton of attention, so not panicking too much yet about Gabe Davis, just some level of concern.
I've got none. You know, we are still talking about a player who went berserk in the playoffs, scored all those touchdowns last year, went berserk in week one, then this ankle injury. I'm assuming the ankle injury, that he's not going to just play hobbled all year long, that it's either going to heal or he'll take enough time off to get it right. And I want part of the number two receiving option for Josh Allen once he's healthy.
Yep.
If you're good enough to dominate playoff teams, you're good enough to handle the regular season slate, which is also, by the way, very positive for the Bills.
We basically had the same answer. I was just debating whether I should say some or none because he's got to let that thing heal.
Gabriel Davis will not face a defense in the top 12 against wideouts until week 16.
Oh, boy. And you'll lose your fantasy championship right there, right on
against
that.
The Bears.
Oh, man.
The Bears are only in the top 12 because nobody passes on them. So, yeah.
The Bills don't care. They keep passing. It showed last year. They keep passing when they're ahead.
They don't care. Titans take on the Commanders. That's a handful of players here. Actually, more than you might have guessed that we want to talk about, including Derrick Henry. Commanders' pass defense is awful, and the run defense is pretty good, including completely shutting down the Eagles and the Cowboys the past 2 weeks. Henry's been good in back-to-back games, including 11 targets the last 2 weeks. That totally unlocks a whole different kind of upside for Derrick Henry. Washington has been solid against pass-catching backs, though. Still, hopefully, Henry can chip in a bit through the air. I've just got the B grade because this is a good run defense, even though Derrick Henry's trucking right now. Ryan Tannehill was my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback. You may recall that from last hour. And that means I like his number one receiver, Robert Woods. Treylon Burks is out, so Woods becomes the go-to receiver against one of the league's worst secondaries. Wood runs 92% of the team's routes, running from every spot on the field and positive matchups no matter where he's lining up, including going up against outside cornerbacks William Jackson and Kendall Fuller, who I detailed earlier. Disastrous Pro Football Focus grades. And Jackson's got an almost perfect passer rating against him, 155. And Fuller's allowed the second most passing yards among all cornerbacks. And that's why you could also be great in Woods. That's why also Nick Westbrook-Ikhine comes in as a dart throw C grade against that same set of receiver or cornerbacks. So, yeah, let's give him a crack here.
What is our record for using that sounder in a show? I swear we're up to 5 or 6.
I think we're only on 3. I think I've been pretty subdued on the dart throws right here.
It's like a game of cricket.
Let's go over to, I don't understand how cricket works, but I know I'm a lot less interested in any sport that takes 5 days.
Well, no, the dart game, cricket.
Oh, that game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not like Indian
style. I don't know
how.
No.
Okay. Got it. Let's go over to the Washington side where I've got a surprising number of starters with B grades, including all meaningful parts of the passing game. Carson Wentz, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, and Logan Thomas all coming in with B grades. For Wentz, it's been a Jekyll and Hyde season. I think we're going to get the good version. Is Jekyll the good version or Hyde the good version?
Jekyll good, pretty sure.
Jekyll good, Hyde bad.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go with that. We're going to see the Jekyll version against a very bad Tennessee secondary. Tennessee's surrendered the third most passing yards and the most passing touchdowns in the league. Now, Wentz has been sacked a league high 17 times. Well, it was league high before Thursday night. I think now Matt Ryan is the leader. He's got the extra game. Tennessee has registered 10 sacks already. So you could get the meltdown. You could get the Hyde side of Wentz, but I'm on the Jekyll side of Wentz with the B grade. And that means I like McLaurin. He runs predominantly from the left side of the field. That puts him on cornerback Christian Fulton, who is allowing a perfect passer rating in his coverage. He is the only cornerback with that horrible distinction. The Titans have yielded the fourth most yards and second most touchdowns to receivers, which is partly why I also like Curtis Samuel in this game. He spent 70% of his snaps in the slot, where you'll see cornerback Roger McCreary, who's giving up an 82% catch rate. I think you're going to continue to get a lot of volume out of Curtis Samuel. And then Logan Thomas, if you need a tight end, he's available in over half of leagues still. Titans are getting rocked by opposing tight ends, ranking bottom five in tight end receptions, yards, and touchdowns allowed, including giving up 180 yards to tight ends last week. Logan Thomas, B grade, the last guy we need to talk about. And it could be, potentially, in his last start of his career, Antonio Gibson.
Oh, boy.
He's gotten declining snaps in every game. He's averaging 3.3 yards per carry, including negative yards over expectation. He's given the receiving work to J.D. McSuckett, and Brian Robinson is looming. The Titans have held opposing running backs under 70 rushing yards per game in their last three. Basically, the only reason a C grade is on Antonio Gibson is you're hoping he can turn a dozen carries into 40 yards and maybe he finds his way into the end zone before Brian Robinson shows up to take that job. Our final matchup of this segment is the Seahawks taking on the Saints. Scott, Geno Smith.
Yes.
Your reigning offensive player of the week in the NFC.
Yeah, might take a chance on me player to that last week.
Yeah, very nicely done, by the way.
Yes.
What do you think about this week? Tougher matchup with the Saints.
Yeah, much tougher matchup. I wouldn't expect the 320 yards and two scores through the air, 49 and a score on the ground quite this week. Much tougher test. Saints D, who is allowing 212 yards and a score on average. That'll be much more like his first two games against the Broncos and 49ers. But in those games and in last week, he tallied 6 to 7 rushes, 40 plus yards. He's got that upside that gives you a little bit more floor than those quarterbacks had on that Saints D. I do have a C grade on him just for that, probably over 200 yards, score through the air, some rushing work. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf are the only receivers. I don't have a grade on Disley. He's still splitting. Despite he keeps scoring touchdowns, he's still splitting quite a bit, and the Saints are tops against tight ends, holding all to 23 yards or fewer. But Tyler Lockett and Metcalf are the only receivers I got grades on. B grades for both. The hope here is Lockett and Metcalf can recreate what Thielen and Jefferson did last week in London against the Saints. That isn't unrealistic, considering the Saints had previously allowed the top two receivers they faced to see startable level production closer to BC level. But these two are better talents than the ones a lot closer to Thielen and Jefferson than the ones that those other receivers that notch those totals. They also get way more volume. Their combined target share was 17 targets, 23 targets, and 18 targets each of the last 3 weeks. If we're talking dang near double digit targets for each of them, I'm going to give them B grades. Possibly one is going to end up with an A. I just don't know which one, because they have been flipping which one's going to be the A grade each week. On the other side, Andy Dalton, I do have on the bench. I know he had 236 and a score last week. This is a much tougher matchup here, though, against the Seahawks. Against the Seahawks than the Vikings were. I have a B grade on Chris Olave. Led the Saints in targets and yards once again on the QB change. It didn't matter except his upside maybe a bit, because he didn't get as many air yards, get as much down the field, but he still saw the target volume. And with Michael Thomas out, he's going to be the main guy getting the work. Jarvis Landry's got the injury. He's questionable. He didn't even get much work last week with Andy Dalton in as well. I believe he only had two catches last week, if I'm thinking correctly. Kamara's back. Kamara should be back. He says he's playing. Kamara says he is 100% playing. So even though he put in a couple limited practices this week, I have an A grade in a smash spot. He had a smash spot last week, but he's got a smash spot this week as well, possibly with Dalton's checkdowns. I think he can do it on the ground as well because Seattle is allowing nearly 170 total yards on 30 touches per game to runners. Kamara's going to get most of that, especially now that Latavius Murray's gone.
That helps.
Mark Ingram banged up, so he might get nearly all of that 30 touches.
Yeah. That's a let's hope that Alvin Kamara turns it around because his people who spent a first round draft pick on him are languishing. This might be, I don't know, this might be an opportunity to buy an Alvin Kamara.
I will say he was really going in the second. There was one person on this show talking about taking him in the first.
But most people, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, with Saquon Barkley.
Yes. I was. That was a heck of a call.
At the turn.
Yes.
Barkley Kamara.
Yes.
Kamara will pay off.
I was just joking. Kamara is good.
When we come back, Eagles taking on the Cardinals. We'll tell you what to expect from the Eagles offense, which has been running great, but not always easy to find the right player. We'll help you figure that out when we come back. Fantasy Football Weekly.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Scott Fish and Brian Johnson with you. We continue analyzing all of the matchups across the NFL. Coming up next, Eagles taking on the Cardinals, Brian. It's somebody every week's blowing up. It was A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, then it was Miles Sanders. Who do you like to have the big game here against a relatively suspect and yielding Cardinals defense?
They're kind of sneaky good, the Arizona defense. We'll get into that a little bit.
Just the opponents don't impress me.
Yeah, that's a good point. But it was Miles Sanders who went off last week, but I don't think it's going to be him this week. Just to see for Sanders, the volume hasn't been there for opposing running backs against the Cardinals. Just one has logged more than 13 carries. And no lone back has top 70 rushing yards against Arizona, who just held Christian McCaffrey to 27 rushing yards on 8 carries last week.
No kidding.
McCaffrey did have 9 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown through the air, but Kenneth Gainwell is a threat to eat into that works, hence the C for Sanders. I do have Gainwell on the bench, though, just not the right time to start Kenneth. Over to the wide receivers for Philly, B for A.J. Brown. Wanted to give him an A, but no lone receiver has hit at least 80 yards against the Cardinals, and that includes Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp.
That shocks me.
Yeah, Arizona has...
I don't see the talent there, but... It is what it is.
It is what it is. Arizona has also allowed just 2 wide receiver touchdowns all season, none over the last 2 weeks. That being said, the Cardinals rank last in yards after the catch allowed, while Brown ranks 6th in yak among all players. So the B for Brown and a C for Devontae Smith.
Yeah, now this has been the boom or bust player, I think, along with Amari Cooper, the most boom and bust receivers in the league. What do you think this week?
Yeah, definitely up there. Just the C. He has the target share north of 20% still, which is good. And just it's tough. You can't sit Smith. The Eagles have the 4th highest implied team point total this week, so you're just not sitting Devontae Smith. He gets a C. And you're definitely not sitting Dallas Goedert this week. He gets an A. I think I might give him the fantasy Vonzi A.
All right.
The Cardinals.
You don't have to actually say it. We've got Fonzie right here.
I think I do it better than Fonzie.
Better you than can the
tell,
original?
You can tell that to Winkler. Send that to Winkler personally for me.
He texts a lot.
I bet you do. The Cardinals have allowed the 2nd most PPR points to the tight end position and have the worst team pass coverage grade according to Pro Football Focus. I just mentioned that A.J. Brown ranks 6th in yards after the catch among all players. Dallas Goedert, 2nd
no way.
In yards after the catch.
Wow.
Among all players.
That.
So love Goedert this week. And, of course, you love Jalen Hurts. He gets an A. We're not going to go into that any further. Over the Arizona side, James Conner, just a C for him. The volume has been there, but the efficiency has been lacking. He ranks 50th among running backs in yards after contact per attempt.
It's bad.
Since week 2, no starting running back has been able to top 32 rushing yards against the Eagles. But Philly has allowed 4 rushing touchdowns in the red zone to running backs this season. That's tied for 2nd most in the NFL. So if they get in the red zone, Arizona, that is, Connor has a chance to score. So he gets a C. Marquise Brown, he's playing at an A level, but it's a tough matchup here. So he just gets a B for me, averaging 11 targets per game.
11 targets per game.
He should continue seeing that type of volume with DeAndre Hopkins still serving his suspension. But like I said, it's a tough matchup. The Eagles are allowing less than 140 yards per game to wide receivers as a whole. But on the bright side, Philly has surrendered 2 wide receiver touchdowns in 2 of 4 games. And Terry McLaurin topped 100 yards against them in week 3. So you still got to start Brown confidently. I'm not starting Rondale Moore or Greg Dortch. They're both on the bench. Dortch saw just 1 target last week with Moore back in the lineup.
Yeah.
Moore caught just 3 passes for 11 scoreless yards.
That's so Rondale Moore.
Yeah, it's the most Rondale Moore stat line ever, pretty much. So, again, tough matchup. They are both on the bench. But Zach Ertz, definitely not on the bench in a revenge game against his former team. He gets a B. Ertz is the only tight end to see at least 2 red zone targets in every game. He leads all tight ends in that category with 10. The Eagles allowed just 3 catches to Jacksonville's tight ends last week, but they're playing Evan Engram like a bunch of idiots and not Dan Arnold. But Minnesota's tight ends combined for 7 catches, 64 yards, and a touchdown against Philly in week 2. It should have been more.
Yeah, it could have been a lot more.
Irv Smith dropped that long one. So, but you're starting Ertz with confidence for sure. But not starting Kyler Murray with confidence. I'm still starting him.
Are you?
I'm going to give him a C.
I was nervous. I've benched him in a couple leagues.
If you have a better option, this is 1 quarterback leagues only, basically.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't say don't start Murray. But, it's a tough matchup. Philly 3rd in interceptions, 1st in sacks, and have yet to allow more than 225 passing yards in any game. The Eagles own the 3rd highest opponent passing play percentage, which is good, but they are currently allowing more yards per rushing attempt, 5, than per pass attempt, 4.8.
Man.
So Murray's got to get going on the ground to really have a good fantasy day here.
I think he's bench worthy.
It depends who else you got available.
Let's take Bengals and Ravens next. On the Bengals side, A grades for Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase. You're going to start them no matter what anyway, but I'll just punctuate it by saying Baltimore has allowed the 2nd most scores to wide receivers, and they rank dead last in yards allowed to wide receivers, 242 per game just to that position. Adelson brings in Tyler Boyd into this conversation. Running from the slot, Boyd gets the strongest individual matchup of the Bengals receivers. The Ravens have not found a solution at slot cornerback. They tried their first starter was a guy named Damarian Williams. Then he was so bad, they benched him. Then they tried Brandon Stevens last week, and Stevens gave up a touchdown to Isaiah McKenzie out of the slot last week. So they don't have a solution there, and Tyler Boyd is a nice, sneaky start. But is he a... Yeah, well, yes, he is. He's a dart throw. He's a dart throw.
Can
Scott
someone
Mitch.
Tweet us how many times that sounder was used?
I believe
used.
That would be 4 dart throws in this show.
I believe it's more. I'm taking
way
the over.
More,
I will take the over.
Smashing the over there.
4 dart throws.
We got to sharpen that dart.
Hayden Hurst gets a C grade. The Ravens have surrendered 2 touchdowns at the position so far. And last season, C.J. Ozuma, then with the Bengals, totaled 8 catches, 127 yards, and 2 touchdowns in the 2 games against Baltimore. So if Hurts can be anything close to what Ozuma was last year for the Bengals, a nice start for him. C grade. And then there's Joe Mixon, who, to my eyes, has looked pretty lethargic so far. He has failed to top 3 yards per carry in any game. Awful. Fortunately, they don't stop giving him the ball. A league-leading 25 touches per game. He's got a decent matchup against a Ravens team, allowing the 11th most total yards to opposing running backs. He's seeing, by the way, 6 targets per game for Joe Mixon. So he's going to help out through the air a little bit here. B grade on Joe Mixon. Let's go over to the Baltimore side, where Mark Andrews is an obvious A grade, although Rashad Bateman getting ruled out does not help Mark Andrews.
No.
Rashad Bateman opens up the field with the speed that he's got. I don't like that part. And that's part of why I've knocked Lamar Jackson down to a B grade. The loss of Bateman hurts. The other wideouts, Devin Duvernay and DeMarcus Robinson, are incredibly lightly used, averaging 2 catches per game apiece. And
all of them were. Bateman has 11 catches on the season. He's got 3 startable weeks, but he has 11 catches on the season.
That's
somehow.
It. I know. I just don't know where they go to manufacture a bunch of reps for Lamar Jackson in this one. Basically, you're hoping he runs you to a big game, and he ran for 88 yards in last year's meeting against the Bengals, so maybe that's a sign. So hopefully a B grade on Lamar Jackson, and then I've got Devin Duvernay on the bench, just the three targets per game and 2 receptions. And by the way, the cornerbacks for Cincinnati, Eli Apple and Chidobe Awuzie, are playing very well. So I don't think we're going to go that far down the depth chart in this one. Lastly, J.K. Dobbins, only 3.2 yards per carry last week, but he got the 2 touchdowns against a very good Bills defense and established himself as the go-to runner. Justice Hill's been ruled out of this game. Cincinnati's run defense is good. No back is top 53 yards, so we're really looking for more short touchdown runs from J.K. Dobbins. Our final matchup of this segment, 49ers taking on the Panthers. Scott?
Yeah, so let's start on the 49ers side. Jimmy G, let's start with this. The Panthers D ranks pretty much middle of the pack against every position. Just last year, they were very good against most positions.
Although J.C. Horn is an emerging elite cornerback.
Yes. Where was I? Jacoby Brissett and Daniel Jones had bad days, but then they allowed 353 and a score to Winston. That's really why they're in middle of the pack. 3 score day to Kyler. Some good ones, some bad ones. I got Jimmy G on the bench, though, but I do have an A grade on Curtis Samuel. Nobody's benching Debo Samuel at all. The lead receiver against the Panthers the last 2 weeks combined for 15 catches, 235 yards, and a score. I do have Brandon Ayuk on the bench, averaging just 3 catches and 46 yards per game. That's barely even sea level. And if you look at the second wide receiver against the Panthers, 2 for 11, 5 for 50. Like, these are the top games against this Panther as the second receiver. I'm leaving him on the bench. I do have a C grade on Kittle. As we kind of mentioned in the previous segment, the 3 tough questions, you're not benching him. Just because he's got the obvious upside of 100-plus day and a bunch of catches.
Well, where are you going to pivot to if you do bench Kittle?
Yeah, exactly. Where are you going to pivot to? And just recently, Ertz had a 47-yard day and a score against the Panthers, so it can get done. They've allowed some okay days, some to Ertz and a couple other middle of the pack at tight ends, so I give him a C grade. Jeff Wilson Jr., B grade. The best part of Wilson's usage is he sees it all. He has 33 he has 33 touches to 3 for other runners, and 2 of those were Juszczyk. You know, like, so he gets everything out there. In those, he had the 2 games with Mitchell and TDP, Ty Davis Price out, he had 180 total yards and a score, so he's averaging about 90. The Panthers got crushed by the Browns as runners in week one, but have allowed about 80 yards per game since to the lead running back. That's probably where Jeff Wilson Jr. is going to lie this game, 80 to 90 yards. You hope for a score. But the Panthers have not allowed a touchdown to a lead runner yet this year. So only the B for Wilson. Over to the Panthers side. I have, once again, for the second week in a row, the entire passing game on the bench. I just can't trust Baker Mayfield.
Not against the 49ers. This is the best defense in the league.
They have the number one pressure rate on quarterbacks in the league. They get pressure on the quarterback on 43% of their plays.
Man.
So, not looking good for Mayfield. DJ Moore had 11 targets last week, catching 6 for 50. That's an okay fantasy day. The matchup isn't great. The volume paired with being the top target against the 49ers the last couple weeks were 9 for 100. 107, 8 for 90, 14 for 122. Mm-hmm. I actually just changed my mind. I think I'm giving DJ Moore a C. I don't love it, but the top wide receiver
is... I don't see it.
Yeah.
This is a 90.
All right, back on the bench.
11 points per game.
Fine, back on the bench.
Number two in
that
passing yards.
That offense is going to have trouble moving, and I've changed my mind again. Back on the bench.
Good call.
Christian McCaffrey, A grade.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I don't agree. Shocking. Okay, let's hear it.
Well, his worst rushing day of the year is 9 for 81 yards and a score.
Yeah, his worst rushing game of the year is coming up this Sunday.
Oh, okay.
They're giving up 2.8 yards per carry. This is the number one run defense in the NFL.
That is true, but it's also Christian McCaffrey. And when they get behind, which they will, Mayfield showed last week, they just targeted McCaffrey like crazy when they got behind.
I don't know.
You don't think the catches and targets go.
I think the Niners are good enough to snuff that out, too.
All right.
We'll see. You're a lot more optimistic. I wouldn't give him an A. I wouldn't say I'm benching him, but I wouldn't give him an A.
They're allowing 5 to 6 receptions a game to running back. All right, fine.
You guys are like Tom and Giselle right now.
B plus then. I do want to say, last segment, I failed to mention Rashad Penny. I don't know how I did. I actually gave him an A grade. You look on paper and you think New Orleans is a tough matchup for runners, but each lead running back this season against them had 22 or more touches, averaging over 100 yards against the Saints. Penny saw 17 touches last week. When he gets 16 or more touches, 135 in a score, 138 in 2 scores, 157 in 2 scores, 185 in 2 scores, 190 yards in a score. That's what he does with 16-plus touches. I see him getting that again here. Well, maybe not those stat lines, but I see him getting those touch counts. A grade on Penny. Lower A grade.
Well, going back, I like it. You notice you missed it. When we come back, we'll jump in the time machine and give you 3 players to pick up this week who you'll be glad you have next week. There was a little Alec Pierce last week. And who else did we? Somebody else had a nice hit on that, too. I'm trying to think of who. Was it Tyler Allgeier? Is that who you mentioned?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Stay tuned. Premature speculation when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Final segment of Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Scott Fish and Brian Johnson with you. This segment always leads off with premature speculation. We give you 3 players that are probably available in your league that you can pick up now when other people will be trying to pick up next week. Scott, I'll let you begin. Who is your premature speculation player?
First off, I want a petition to get the Quantum Leap leaping sound as our time machine sound going forward. I think we should talk about this in the coming weeks.
I'm all for it.
Oh, all right.
I'm not married to this time machine.
Okay. All right.
It does have sort of a time machine feel to it.
It does.
Not that I know what it would sound like.
It does.
Would it even sound like anything?
We don't know.
Why would it?
We'll just assume.
All right.
Khalil Shakir is my guy. With a broken ankle to Crowder, who was splitting reps with McKenzie, Khalil Shakir came in and split reps last week. McKenzie has a concussion, has not cleared protocol yet. If he doesn't go, Shakir might be the starting slot receiver for an offense that targeted the slot more than any other offense in the last year and four games or whatever. He could start to ball out here, and you want to get him before he balls out, and then everybody's going after him with waivers next week.
All right. Your premature speculation player, Brian.
We got Jacksonville wide receiver Jamal Agnew, who scored twice last week with Zay Jones out. Agnew could be a key component to the now dangerous Jacksonville offense. Zay Jones is coming back this week, so Agnew probably to the bench. He'll still play, but if one of the Joneses gets hurt on the outside, like happened last week, Christian Kirk goes to the outside and Agnew's in the slot. If Kirk gets hurt, Agnew will take over the slot, and Agnew can produce when given the opportunity. He's now seen at least 6 targets in 4 of Jacksonville's last 11 games, and in those 4 games, he's averaging 5-plus catches and 50-plus yards with 3 total touchdowns. So, Jamal Agnew.
Is multiple Jones Joneses?
The Joneses.
Jones Eye.
The Joneses.
The Jones Eye. If either the Jones Eye were to get hurt, I think I like that better.
And that's Marvin and Zay, of course.
Marvin, yeah. No relation.
No relation. I don't think.
My premature speculation player. Now, this is a little complex. Just stick with me on this, okay? This is fantasy football 4,000 level.
Okay.
Okay? Cordarrelle Patterson's on IR.
Yeah.
And that means he's going to miss at least a month and maybe more, but no less than a month. And without him this week, the Falcons are going to try Tyler Algier and Caleb Huntley on Sunday in a brutal matchup with Tampa Bay's elite run defense, and they are likely to unimpress. Mm. And then conveniently, Damian Williams comes off IR next week to resume his spot as Patterson's immediate backup. He's going to walk into the starting job. You can go pick up a starting NFL running back right now for next week in Damian Williams. Now, he had
where
a rib
was this
injury.
Complicated? That's not complicated.
You're a professor at this.
Okay.
For the layman, this Damian Williams angle is extremely sophisticated. Now, it's a rib injury for him. It's not a leg injury. It's not something that's going to hamper his running. And in all probability, he could have already come back. Now, it's a tough matchup next week against the 49ers for Damian Williams. So you may have to show caution in starting him next week. But after that, it's clear sailing. Damian Williams.
And Arthur Smith mentioned this week when asked about him, about next week's matchup, he basically said, we'll be getting him back.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he's
near. Damian Williams, available in, I'm going to make this up, 93.5% of leagues. Let's go to our final set of matchups, beginning with the Cowboys taking on the Rams. Brian?
Yeah, starting with Ezekiel Elliott. I was close to a bench grade here, but I'm going to give him a C based on volume.
Especially
if Pollard doesn't play. Pollard on the bench either way, by the way. But Zeke has at least 15 carries in 3 straight games. And it's possible that Dallas dominates time of possession in this game because the Rams' offense has been that bad and Dallas' defense has been that good. But on paper, it's a bad matchup for Zeke. The Rams have allowed the fewest fantasy points to running back so far this season. So just the C for Zeke. The opposite, well, I don't know if it's the opposite of a C, but it's an A for C.D. Lamb. Gone are the days of fearing Jalen Ramsey as a shutdown quarterback.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
He's fallen off that Josh Norman cliff. L.A. has been shredded by wide receivers, allowing more than 17 catches, 212 yards, and 1.5 touchdowns per game to the position. And Lamb has turned into a target hog, which is what we all expected on this show. So an easy A for CD. And C for Michael Gallup and Noah Brown. Gallup's route participation was over 80% in his first game back last week. He also scored a touchdown, which is very encouraging. I like him more than Brown, but I would start both because, again, this is such a cake matchup for wide receivers. But not so much for Dalton Schultz. He is making his return this week, but I have him on the bench. The Rams rank 2nd in fewest fantasy points allowed to tight ends, and that includes shutting down guys like Dawson Knox, Zach Ertz, and George Kittle.
Impressive.
So I'm benching Schultz this week, but Cooper Rush, and they're playing in the same game. Cooper Rush with Scott's take a chance on me quarterback, so he is not on the bench. Over to the Rams side, starting with Cam Akers, who is
maybe the worst starting running back in the league.
Yeah, Cowboys are allowing 4.8 yards per carry and more than 5 catches per game to opposing running backs. What I mentioned earlier, Akers is still the starter, but he only had 9 opportunities last week to the 11 from Darrell Henderson. Henderson was way more productive. That's why he was my take a chance on me running back. I like him more than Akers, so but they both basically get a C here. Who does not get a C is Cooper Kupp, an A. I want to say some things here. It's an obvious A. I think we have the time. 19 targets last week for Kupp.
Crazy.
The rest of the Rams wide receivers combined for 9. 9 times they were targeted. There we go.
Nine times.
Now, the Cowboys are top 12 in the fewest catches, yards, and touchdowns allowed to wide receivers, but Kupp has played over 50% of his snaps from the slot, meaning he'll see plenty of fifth-round rookie Deron Bland, who was targeted 11 wow. times last week by Washington, allowing 9 catches for 98 yards. So Cooper Kupp should be in for a big day. Allen Robinson, probably not in for a big day. He's on the bench.
No. For as right as I was on Russell Wilson the last couple years, I was so wrong on Allen Robinson. Like, that might have been my biggest miss.
I was very high on him, too. I'm not dropping him yet, but this is not the matchup for him to get
exactly
right.
Right.
He is on the bench. Tyler Higbee, not on the bench, though. I'm going to give him a B in the tight end wasteland. Through 4 games, he leads all tight ends in total targets, and the Cowboys have allowed the 7th most receptions to tight ends this season. So start Higbee with confidence, but do not start Matt Stafford. I got him on the bench. The Cowboys have allowed just 3 passing touchdowns through 4 games, and just 1 opposing quarterback has been able to crack 200 yards, and that was Tom Brady with 212 in week 1. Stafford's offensive line is in shambles.
It is.
He's been sacked 16 times already, which is very bad news considering the Cowboys' only 4th highest sack percentage in the league.
Yeah.
It's thankfully,
another long day.
In most part to Micah Parsons, who is just a beast.
He is a beast. Final matchup is your Monday nighter, Raiders taking on the Chiefs. Davante Adams, obvious A, but let's move on to Hunter Renfrow making his return from concussion. He's going to draw Legarius Sneed in the slot. Sneed has allowed a completion rate of 78%. He's given up 2 touchdowns and a passer rating of 121. He was targeted 16 times in his 2 games before the concussion, Renfrow was. So I think he goes back to getting heavy doses here and a B grade on Hunter Renfrow. Let's get him back into lineups. That really hurts Mac Hollins. Presumably, Renfrow is going to eat into the production you've seen because Hollins was good in the games without Renfrow and did very little with the games with Renfrow. So I'm still keeping a C grade on him because he's performed well. He'll match up on the outside with Jalen Watson and Rashad Fenton, middling talents with Pro Football Focus grades of cornerback 52 and cornerback 54, respectively. So I've got an A, a B, and a C grade on the receiver, so I've got a B grade on Derek Carr.
Real quick on Renfrow in his 2 games against the Chiefs last year, 13 for 117 in a touchdown, 7 for 46 in a touchdown.
We would take that.
Yeah.
Not bad. Derek Carr, every opposing quarterback has multiple touchdowns, and 2 of the last 3 have topped 334 yards, so I like that against the Chiefs. Chiefs' run defense has been great, and that's going to force more throws from Carr. Chiefs are seeing the 2nd most pass attempts, and that volume is going to aid Carr as well. I think he's a safe B in this one. Let's talk about Josh Jacobs. Our preseason talk about the Raiders. Remember in preseason, we were like, hey, maybe they're just going to grind up Josh Jacobs and use him all up and then let him go to free agency. That's happening right now.
It is.
And that's good for fantasy use. He's got 130 more snaps than any other Vegas runner. He's at almost 5 yards per carry, but the Chiefs are allowing the fewest rushing yards, just 52 per game, and they're only giving up 3.1 yards per carry. Now, here's where Jacobs can help you. Kansas City's dead last in receptions and receiving yards to runners. They're giving him 10 catches and 70 yards per game. Jacobs is not a gifted receiver, but I could see him getting 4 or 5 catches for 40 or 50.
He's shown that he can do it.
He can.
Remember the overreaction because he played like 2 series in the Hall of Fame game and everyone was like, oh, he's a bum. He's playing in the preseason.
Right. B grade on Josh Jacobs based on him helping you out in PPR as well. Let's go to the Kansas City side. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are obvious A's. That only leaves us with a couple more players to talk about. Juju Smith-Schuster. Behind only Travis Kelce in targets, he's hauled in at least 5 passes in 3 or 4 games, so he gives you a little bit of a floor. Mahomes has torched the Raiders for 11 passing touchdowns in the last 4 meetings, so you figure this one has got a decent chance to be Juju Smith-Schuster's first touchdown as a member of Kansas City. He's going to face struggling cornerback Amik Robertson the most. He's allowed a score in two of the last three games, and he surrendered a perfect 158.3 passer rating against Denver's aerial attack last week. Russell Wilson led aerial attack last week, and that leaves us with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Inexplicably coming off his best game of the year against Tampa's elite run defense 1 week after giving you zero rushing yards. Total volatility here, but at least he's carved out some consistency through the air. He's hauled in 13 of 14 targets. He's scored three times through the air, and the Raiders are allowing the fourth most receiving yards to opposing running backs. So I think he's going to help you out one way or another and largely through the air. So we'll get a B grade on Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Man, that says something for how you feel about him generally.
Pacheco will take over that job sooner than later. Not this week, probably.
Take over.
If you watch him, that guy runs mean, man.
Are we dropping Russell Wilson outright?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know how I feel.
Yeah,
I've been very clear about it.
We were in lockstep on this weeks ago.
Yep.
Where we talked about how this was Russell Wilson, the guy we saw early on, was exactly who he was going to be. So now you're heading into next week's waiver claims.
Yeah.
I think you're dropping Russell Wilson.
Wilson country, let's
drop. Is it even a sabotage? I don't know that he gets picked up, honestly. I think he's just now an open roster spot
it's
for you.
You're right. It's not a sabotage drop. Talk to me about the backfield for Denver. What did we learn on Thursday about Melvin Gordon, Boone, anybody else that might have caught your eye?
Ryan?
Boone looked a little – Gordon had over 100 combo yards, but Boone looked more explosive than me.
He sure did, didn't he? Just 3.6 yards per carry for Melvin Gordon, which is what he's been giving you all year. Dude's bringing nothing to the table.
And he fumbles.
And, well, didn't, he almost fumbled. Almost fumbled, but did not end up losing a fumble last game. I think Mike Boone is still lurking as a potential issue and maybe Latavius Murray long term, because I don't trust Melvin Gordon to hold that at
Latavius
all.
Murray hasn't fumbled in 21 games there.
Yeah, 21 like games. That, no so. Doubt. Be sure to join a Guillotine League. Still joining new leagues. You can get almost a full season to play in. And when you join now, lots of opportunities to get into the freshest new format in fantasy football. And while you're at guillotineleagues.com, you can go ahead and check out all my player rankings available for free. Thanks for listening, everybody. Best of luck in week 5, and we'll talk to you next week. Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.